We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I am delighted to welcome my old friend, who is the executive director of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union here in Virginia, Claire Guthrie-Gastanaga. And we disagree on lots of stuff out there, but we still managed to generally have a pretty good conversation. Welcome. How are you this morning? You safe? Everybody in your family okay?
Good morning, John. Thank you for asking. We are doing just fine. A little stir crazy, but other than that, you know, we're doing all right.
Yeah. Well, I am glad to hear that. You hear some stories that pop up and you go, wow, I didn't know you were suffering through this. I'm trying to ask everybody when they come on.
Yeah.
What's your take? We just talked to Philip Van Cleve from the Virginia Citizens Defense League, the Second mm-hmm. Amendment rights group. And of course, he is very happy with the judge's ruling yesterday that pushed back on the governor's executive orders closing at least one gun range in the state. Do you have kind of an overview assessment of whether the governor has stayed within the boundary that the Constitution sets up, or whether he's expanding maybe inappropriately his authority here?
Well, I think this is a time to be incredibly watchful in terms of what government does. It is obviously a time where there needs to be some thought given at the same time, in an and kind of way, as opposed to an or kind of way, about freedom and safety. And obviously, we want everybody to be safe in this current environment, and we want reasoned, medically derived, evidence-based decisions about what's really necessary to keep us safe. But at the same time, we want to be extraordinarily careful about government taking this as an opportunity to go beyond what is appropriate. There is always the chance that government sees these as opportunities to expand their reach and their power, and to do so in a way that's inappropriate. And so we're keeping a very watchful eye on things like, you know, Apple and Google making it possible to track us all through our phones, and what does that mean in terms of contact tracing and tracking, and how will that be implemented, and will it be temporary? And, you know, once government gets their hands on our data, mm-hmm. it's not going to be likely to want to let it go. And so anything we do in the short term has the potential to haunt us over the long term, and we just have to be extraordinarily careful.
I think a lot of people at the beginning of this, if we were to rewind 6 weeks, would have said, okay, we don't really know what we're dealing with here. This is a tough spot, whether it's a Republican governor, a Democrat governor. We'll cut everybody some slack here to try to figure out what the dangers are. But now that there is more data, not an abundance of data, but more data, there are those who are saying, I have been able to look at the numbers across the state. This isn't as deadly as perhaps we were led to believe, certainly not as deadly as maybe Ebola, still very contagious. So you know what? I respect the governor for making some early decisions here, but you know what? I'm going to reclaim my autonomy, especially as a business person or as an individual, and I think we're on the verge of seeing some people saying, I'm going back to my life and I'll take the consequences as they come. Of course, we're all a little bit interconnected here because it's a contagious disease, but how do you thread that needle?
Yeah, well, I think we're more than a little interconnected. And, you know, the old saying goes that your rights end where my nose begins. Mm-hmm. And nose might be the the right...
Breathing it in. Yeah.
The right appendage here. We are learning every day something new about this virus. Mm-hmm. You know, we're learning that it was circulating our communities before, you know, people thought it was, that the first case where somebody died was much earlier than we thought it was. And we're learning, you know, how contagious it is. And we're also learning more about, you know, the impact on individuals. I think, obviously, every decision someone makes in this circumstance, whether it's a decision to open one's own business or to go out in public without a mask, is not a decision that's completely about personal autonomy. And that's why it's so difficult to know where to decide where, you know, my rights begin and yours end. And so... you know, I don't think it's easy, John, to make blanket statements about what's appropriate or what could be defended. I think it's going to take us some time to look at things, you know, on an individual basis and make some really good decisions. And I encourage everyone to exercise some patience, but at the same time, vigilance. And that, you know, that's what makes it so difficult. I would love to be able to say to you this morning, I think there are hard and fast rules. I think it's easy to know when something goes beyond the pale. I got to tell you, I'm still struggling to find all the data and facts that are necessary to make these decisions. And
I'm not attacking exactly. you. I'm not attacking you with this, but the clock is ticking for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the man or woman who owns, I'm just going to use an example that I'm aware of, a home decorating company,
right?
Mm-hmm. They've been told they can't be open, and you know, they could very easily monitor how many people come into the showroom, and in theory they could post somebody there and check whether somebody had a fever and do some basics to screen people and try to keep folks safe, but they've been told they can't be open. So at some point, the individual has to say, hey, the government is working on one timetable, which may make sense for them, but I'm about to lose every dollar I've invested in this business and be impoverished, and I have rights too. Should they go through the legal process here? Should they contact the ACLU and expect you all to defend them? Or should they just say, you know what, Governor, I'm going to do what I got to do. You do what you got to do, and let's hope this all works out in the long run. What do you
think? Well, obviously, the person who's making these decisions is the governor, and you know, we're talking to the governor about another set of circumstances that are even more deadly, which is the people that are in congregate facilities, custodial congregate facilities, who are being essentially sentenced to death in some of these facilities. Because
what do you mean?
We can't,
nursing homes and
jails and prisons.
I'm sorry, okay.
You know, and so Deerfield, which is basically the state's nursing home for people who are in custody, has already had a death, and our experience out in Henrico shows us that is, you know, that means there's going to be a cascading effect. And we're trying to get the governor's attention to ask the, you know, right questions about, you know, who should continue to be held in custody when it is a death sentence for people who are older and people with certain underlying conditions.
Is there a solution there?
Well, 40% of people in prisons have the underlying conditions that make you more vulnerable. And so we're asking the governor to look very carefully at releasing as many people as possible who don't present an imminent threat to, you know, to the public. And, you know, there's a lot of data, speaking of data and evidence, that beyond a certain age, even somebody who did something that was dangerous when they were a teenager or a youth is no longer a danger to the public at age 55, 60, 65. Mm. And yet those people continue to be held in custody. And the, you know, the governor's budget amendment that he touted, that he sent to the legislature, that, you know, the Department of Corrections was going to be able to address people who had less than a year left on their sentences, the way that they're choosing to address it. They talked initially about 2,000 of the 38,000 people in prison being released, and now it looks like, you know, that number is going to be much smaller. And and that's in part because they won't let anybody out who has a demerit, you know, a demerit's as good a word as any to convey what it is, but and they're giving people those black marks for refusing to go to congregate activities, you know, for refusing to go to the laundry to work. And so, you know, if you it's just compounding over and over again. So, you know, I mean, I think out here in the free world, we all need to take responsibility for our own choices, but we also need to do that in context of what it means for others. And I think that we're going to see a thoughtful, progressive reopening of our economy that is going to work for most people. But I feel deeply for people who are in the situation that you described, and I do encourage them to seek counsel and to make choices based on what's best for them.
Claire Guthrie Gastanaga is the executive director of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union here in Virginia. I really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Well, John, it's always a pleasure, and I'm happy to chat anytime. And next time, maybe we could talk about forced labor in prison. That would be fun.
Okay. You know what? We'll book it very soon. I appreciate it, Claire. Thank you.
Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.